You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus, here to bring you another edition of Mock Draft Monday, filling your NFL Draft and Chicago Bears podcast needs all at the same time. Today, instead of our traditional Mock Draft Monday setup where I bring in a guest from around the draft Twitter community, an analyst that scouts these players in depth for themselves, today my guest is going to be more not as much a physical person, but instead a simulation, the FanSpeak mock draft simulator. We are going to go through a live FanSpeak mock here together. We'll talk through what picks are going to go down and who's on the board when the Bears are on the clock. And we'll get through all seven rounds to just get a look here at how this upcoming NFL draft could go based on some media big boards. So for those who are not familiar, there's a website, it's called fanspeak.com, and what they have is it's an on-the-clock NFL draft simulator. It's a free thing. You go, you pick your team, you pick your big board, and you pick your team needs, and there's different presets for each one of those. You can't just make your own. You have to pick between, with the big boards, they've got like a dozen, 15 NFL draft analysts from across the internet that you can select and use their big board. You can use FanSpeak's original big board. They've got Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, his board on there. Kyle Krabs, NDT Scouting. Chris Trapasso from CBS. And some of the other smaller guys out there that, have run NFL draft blogs and sites and all that good stuff. Or you can pick what is a composite big board, which takes all of the big boards that they have in their system, kind of compiles them together, and gets a combined ranking from every big board to kind of give it an overall consensus between the boards that they have. For this simulation that we're going to do, I'd like to go with consensus. Maybe it's not going to be how I would rank these players on my big board, but it is a variety of opinions, and so we know the truth is going to be somewhere in the middle with a lot of these opinions. Some guys aren't as afraid, like Kyle Krabs, who is going to be on this podcast in the future for a Mock Draft Monday. I can guarantee you that he is not someone who is going to stick to the status quo. He's not afraid to rank players in a way that people are going to disagree with. And sometimes he's going to be right, and sometimes he's going to be wrong, but he's not going to put, a player at the top just because everybody likes him. He's going to have his own independent opinion on him and not be afraid of that. So his opinions are going to be in there. Whereas other people like Matt Miller and some of those bigger guys, they tend to kind of follow what they hear from the NFL and what, combined with some of the tape that they watch and kind of put together a board that might be a little bit more accurate to what could happen in theory. So we get a nice mix with these composite big boards. And then you also end up selecting your team needs. And it's more for selecting how every other team is going to weigh their needs against the big board. There's a few choices between like FanSpeak, and they do like a user voted one, and a couple of other places that have team needs. They don't offer a composite for this, so I'm just going with the FanSpeak team needs. They're the guys that run the simulation, and at the end of the day, how important is it that every other team's team needs are taken into full consideration? I mean, really, a lot of teams, including the Bears, are just going to draft best player available. So the team needs thing isn't that big of a deal. So we'll go composite big board, FanSpeak team needs. It's going to take us here pick by pick. It will simulate all of the picks except for what the Bears are going to pick. That's where it stops and lets me come in and pick based on the guys that are still available on the board. So what we're going to do here is go through all seven rounds. And for the first round, I'll take you through the first seven picks before the Bears pick eighth overall, so you can kind of have a good idea of just how full or what players are going to be available on the draft board remaining. And then, when we get to the second round, I'm not going to go through the however many 40 picks have gone before the Bears, but I'll just read off some of the top names that are still available. I'll mention a few of the guys, that might have gone earlier that you might be thinking in consideration for that second round pick, and I'll say, well, this guy went here, this guy went here, so here's who we have left on the board. I'll give my choices for the picks. Obviously, when I tell you who all's on the board, you can make your own choices. You can disagree with me. You can kind of think, oh man, if I had been doing that simulation, I would have picked this player here. Whatever you think, good or bad, feel free to let me know afterwards on Twitter. You know, tweet us at Locked On Bears. Message us on our Facebook page, Locked On Bears. Let us know how you thought our mock draft simulation went, what you liked, what you would have done differently, what was a good value, what was a steal, or maybe what you feel like I was reaching on. Now, again, this simulation is just it's an algorithm, and it's a simulation. There's no trades unless you pay for their premium service, so there's no way this is ever going to accurately reflect what happens in the NFL draft. So, I mean, there's no point in getting too riled up about it one way or another, but I do think it is a fun little simulation to kind of see, you know, not what's going to happen, but here are some possible scenarios. If these players go this way, what are the Bears going to do? If the Bears get this guy in the first round, and then these players are on the board in the second round, how are they going to balance that? You can kind of just see, based on some of these scenarios, what Ryan Pace and company could be facing on draft day. With those disclaimers in mind, let's jump into it here. Let's start together here this FanSpeak simulation. Again, composite big board, FanSpeak team needs, and let's get the ball rolling. Pick one to the Cleveland Browns is Baker Mayfield. Pick two to the New York Giants is Sam Darnold. Pick three to the New York Jets is Josh Rosen. So far, pretty good on the 3-for-3 quarterbacks thing, leaving more of those non-QB players to drop down to the Bears potentially here at 8. But we get to number 4, and Saquon Barkley goes to the Cleveland Browns with their second pick. Obviously, there could be a trade in that scenario in the upcoming draft for another quarterback to go. Same thing as we get down to number 5. If the Broncos don't want to take a quarterback here, they take Quentin Nelson. So to recap, Mayfield, Darnold, Rosen, Barkley, Nelson. Then at pick number 6, we have the Indianapolis Colts, and they are going to take Minka Fitzpatrick in our simulation. And then pick number 7, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, edge rusher Bradley Chubb. So after the 3 quarterbacks, it was Barkley, Nelson, Fitzpatrick, and Chubb. And regardless of the order that those guys came off in there, that feels like a pretty realistic and perhaps even most likely scenario. If only 3 quarterbacks are going to go off in the top 5 or even the top 7 before the Bears pick, if only 3 quarterbacks come off, it's pretty much going to be Barkley, Nelson, Chubb, and Fitzpatrick. And I think there's a little bit of debate to be had about whether Fitzpatrick is that 4th one, because he's not as universally viewed as such a top pick by everybody. We talked to Owen Reese last week on our Packers podcast, and he has a suspicion that Fitzpatrick is going to fall and could be in the board down around when the Packers pick, I think, 14th. But for the most part, those 4 non-quarterbacks are somewhat in the conversation here to go before the Bears pick. So it leaves us in a pretty realistic scenario here for the 8th overall pick. You know, I think if any of Fitzpatrick, Chubb, or Quentin Nelson were on the board, I think those guys would probably have to be the pick. But now we're stuck sitting here with the 8th overall pick. You know, some of our top available players, Denzel Ward, the cornerback from Ohio State, Roquan Smith, the linebacker from Georgia, Derwin James, the safety from Florida State, of course, the linebacker from Virginia Tech, Tremaine Edmonds, wide receiver Calvin Ridley's there, you know, the offensive tackle, Connor Williams, the Notre Dame offensive tackle, Mike McGlinchey, of course, a couple running backs and a couple other cornerbacks in there, Josh Jackson, Cortland Sutton. You know, there's some talent there, but they're not quite as surefire as any of the 4 non-quarterbacks that went right before the Bears. So this is a tough situation and a very realistic situation. And it's one that I'm sitting here trying to think who I want to pick for the simulation. And for me, there's not one guy that immediately jumps out. I think the conversation for me is Tremaine Edmonds and Denzel Ward and maybe Roquan Smith, but I'm not quite as high on him. And so it comes down to whether I want a cornerback who's going to start in the slot for me because Amukamara and Kyle Fuller are back. Going to start in the slot for year one, probably year two, because both Fuller and Amukamara are locked in for 2 years guaranteed in their contracts. And then you get to year three when you could move Ward outside, which I think he's fully capable of. And is it worth taking a slot cornerback with a top 10 pick? Or you've got Tremaine Edmonds, who is a 19-year-old raw linebacker. We talked about him and Roquan Smith in depth, boy, a couple of Mondays ago, maybe in a month now, when John Ledyard was on our podcast. It was called Mock Draft Monday, Tremaine Edmonds or Roquan Smith. And John Ledyard on that podcast made a pretty strong argument for Roquan Smith. He was very pro-Roquan. I see his points, and I don't disagree with that too much, but I do feel like Tremaine Edmonds is the player that fits the Ryan Pace mold. Ryan Pace likes the big, explosive, sometimes raw, but unique physical trait athletes. And Tremaine Edmonds is like 6'4", really big, really fast and long, gets Brian Urlacher comparisons, can roam across the field, and he is still raw and perhaps a little bit underdeveloped as a football player, but he started to play a lot better as the year went on this past year, and it's tough for me to pass that up here with the 8th overall pick. Part of me says Denzel Ward, you know, you need cornerbacks, and especially in this day and age, you're playing so much nickel that your nickel cornerback is essentially a starter. He's on the field more than your 7th front 7 player, but I struggle to not go Tremaine Edmonds here just because of the upside and really because it feels like the player that Ryan Pace is going to take. So I'm going to go with Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech. You can have him compete with Nick Kwiatkowski on the inside. He can be a pass rush weapon for Vic Fangio and move him around. And he just has this upside to be an elite physical specimen at the linebacker position. Cover tight ends one-on-one, you know, can roam from sideline to sideline and just be that unique player. Tremaine Edmonds is, they just don't grow on trees. And I think you can find the likes of Denzel Ward and other players in other positions in free agency and the draft. But guys this big, this fast, and this long just don't come along that regularly. And I think Ryan Pace would feel the same way. So we're going Tremaine Edmonds here in the first round. As we move our mock draft simulator around here on FanSpeak, doing the 7-round mock with the composite big board, I saw, you know, Mike Maglicci goes off at the 18th overall pick, so he's out of the question in the second round. Josh Jackson goes 21st. Vita Vea goes off 22nd. Jure Alexander goes 24. Calvin Ridley, 25. A lot of these guys coming off the board. Orlando Brown, the tackle, going at 29th overall. Harold Landry, the edge rusher from Boston College, lasted all the way to the 32nd pick, but didn't quite make it here into the second round. As we get to the Bears selection, about 8 picks in, even Billy Price from Ohio State goes to the Giants in the 2nd pick of the 2nd round. Arden Key, 4th pick of the 2nd round. So some of these edge rushers and offensive linemen are really coming off the board. But we're here now at the 39th overall pick in the draft, the 7th pick of the 2nd round. The Chicago Bears are back on the clock. We got Tremaine Edmonds in the first round here. We're feeling good about the additions we added to our defense. Talked about some of the big-name players that have come off the board. But here are a nice list of some of the best players available. And if you're Ryan Pace sitting in this situation, you got to feel pretty comfortable here. You got James Washington, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State. Will Hernandez, the guard from UTEP. Dallas Goedert, the tight end from South Dakota State. We got Derek Nnadi, the defensive lineman from Florida State. Sam Hubbard, the edge rusher from Ohio State. Carlton Davis, cornerback Auburn. Tyrell Crosby, the tackle from Oregon. And even DJ Moore, the wide receiver from Maryland, who I really feel like is a first-round talent. A lot of guys on the board here that really would be some great picks, looking at 39th overall in the second round. And I'm torn because I love DJ Moore. I think he is, like I said, a first-round talent at the wide receiver position and is pushing Calvin Ridley as the best guy in the class, in my mind. I'm not ready to really lock one down as better than the other. I really think they're right there at the top. So to be able to add a slot receiver like that who can work outside is such a phenomenal route runner, but he's fast and explosive too. I mean, that's really hard to pass up here. Got James Washington as well, a great deep threat. Another guy that some people think could be the best wide receiver in this draft class. But after everything that's happened with this guard and this offensive line situation, I just can't sit here and feel comfortable about the guys the Bears currently have to protect Mitchell Trubisky. You know, it's Leno and Massey at tackle, Kyle Long at right guard, and then you've got Cody Whitehair and Hronis Grasu probably right now as your five offensive linemen. Hronis Grasu has not shown to me at this point yet in his career that he is truly an NFL caliber center. He just doesn't have the strength. And he can't hold up on the interior. He can't anchor. He can't move guys well in the run game. And when people bull rush him in pass protection, he completely folds. And you need to hold up the interior of the offensive line, especially in a league now that's prioritizing interior pressure. You've got a division that added Mo Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson to the two teams at the top, Minnesota and Green Bay. There's a lot of emphasis here on what your offensive line is going to need to block on the interior. And man, I just don't trust Hronis Grasu. I know that they have as offensive coordinator, Mark Helfrich was his coach at Oregon. And everybody seems to think Harry Heaston is going to make this world a difference for a lot of players. I don't know if he can make Hronis Grasu great in one offseason. I really feel like I got to go offensive line here. For me, it's Will Hernandez from UTEP, a phenomenal run blocker, a pretty decent pass blocker as well. And if Heaston is all he's cracked up to be, he can get Hernandez to plug in right away at left guard, keep Cody Whitehair at center, and you're feeling pretty good about having lost Josh Sitton. So we're going to add Will Hernandez from UTEP here with the 39th overall pick, 7th here in the second round. After a long simulation through a third round that doesn't have any Chicago Bears picks in it, we get to the fourth round in our simulation. Pick 105. The Chicago Bears are back on the clock. We've seen the likes of Simi Cobbs Jr. come off just two picks ago to the Houston Texans. That's the wide receiver from Indiana. Safety Deshaun Elliott went a few picks ago. Guard Austin Corbett. The tight end Hayden Hurst. Oh, the wide receiver Michael Gallup went at the end of the third round. Man, he's a first-round talent in my mind, too, out of Colorado State. Would have loved for him to last all the way to the Bears pick here. Cornerback Tavares McFadden, edge Tyquan Lewis, wide receiver Marcel Aitman from Oklahoma State, Kevin White's brother, Kaiser White, and even tight end Mike Gesicki from Penn State. He came off the board. A big run on these guys that the Bears would love to have fall to them in the fourth round. Big run on them here at the end of the third round. Leaves the Bears on the clock with not a ton of names that jump out as you as a potential steal here at this spot. You know, wide receiver Deontay Burnett from USC, the edge rusher Dorrance Armstrong Jr. from Kansas, Deshaun Hand from Alabama stands out as one big one here, safety Justin Reed from Stanford, another one that stands out. Even both Alabama cornerbacks, Levi Wallace and Anthony Averett, are on the board. Duke Dawson from Florida, another cornerback. There's some nice depth here at defensive back. Also some decent linebackers like Josie Jewell from Iowa, Dorian O'Daniel from Clemson, Sky Moore from South Carolina, even Sean Dion Hamilton from Alabama. Quite a few Alabama defenders sitting here, and you know, I got to feel like that's the direction I'm leaning. You know, Deshaun Hand would be a nice addition on the line, but both of these Alabama cornerbacks have some enticing game to them too, especially because they're teammates here with Eddie Jackson in college. So if I'm Ryan Pace, I already know everything I need to know about both of those cornerbacks, and it would be nice to add that kind of depth in there to be able to have that nickel cornerback, like I mentioned at the beginning, is going to be kind of a starter in this type of defense. But I look at this Bears roster, and again, I guess I'm trying not to focus too much on need. I had to pull the trigger on need in the second round because they just need a guard. They need the offensive line is priority number one, and Will Hernandez is a borderline first round talent, so I had to pull the trigger there. We're sitting here in the fourth round, and I think we got a nice combination of best player available and need because Mitch Unrein, the defensive lineman, he signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a pretty nice deal. Getting like $2 or $3 million a year over there. That's subtly a pretty big loss. And I think Jonathan Bullard has been playing better slowly as the years, you know, the years have gone on. I don't know if he's quite ready to take that next step and be a full-time starter. I mean, I think they're going to run a rotation no matter what, even with Mitch Unrein. It's a little bit of a rotation, but if I'm Ryan Pace, I wouldn't mind putting a little bit more pressure on Bullard, adding some more young talent in there with Roy Robertson-Harris too, and Deshaun Hand might just be the right fit here. You know, he's a guy that's really built like a defensive lineman. He's played in that Alabama system. He's kind of the pro-ready jump in there and play at least in a rotation from day one. I know he's had some question marks about his productivity and maybe his motivation and effort sometimes, but man, I think if you get him into a locker room with Akeem Hicks, with this Bears defense, it's young, it's coming together, it's a new coach, it's a new mentality. He can step in and earn significant playing time right away if he can prove it and win it. There's some motivation, I think, to be had for Deshaun Hand if you put him in this Bears locker room, and he has the skills to step in right away, compete with Jonathan Bullard, be a rotational guy. Hand's got some versatility. We've seen him have success, you know, from that 3-4 defensive end position. He can kick inside and play more like defensive tackle in the nickel. You can rotate him around a little bit, and it's just some fresh young blood. If Jonathan Bullard never becomes a full-time starter, you know, Hand can take some of that situation from him, or if Bullard becomes that guy, Hand just becomes a rotational piece in there and just makes your defensive line that much stronger. I think he's a great pick here. I think we can still get, you know, defensive back help and wide receiver help later in this draft. We've got a second, fourth round pick coming up here in a second. So we're going to take Deshaun Hand from Alabama here, 105th overall. We jump ahead in our simulation here to the 115th pick. Since we took Deshaun Hand, we've seen Justin Reed come off the board, Alex Kappa, the offensive lineman from Humboldt State, Kyle Laletta, the quarterback from Richmond, Levi Wallace, one of the Alabama cornerbacks, Nick Nelson, the Wisconsin quarterback, Sean Dion Hamilton, the Alabama linebacker, he's off. But the Bears are back on the board. We've got defensive lineman Breland Speaks from Mississippi, running back Josh Adams from Notre Dame, cornerback Anthony Averett, like we mentioned before, he is still on the board. Duke Dawson, the cornerback from Florida as well. Cornerback DJ Reed from Kansas State. I mean, we got some guys here that would fit nicely into the secondary. Still have Sky Moore from South Carolina, the linebacker. Dante Pettis, the wide receiver from Washington. Wide receiver Traquan Smith from UCF. Josie Jewell, the linebacker from Iowa. We got some talent on the board here. But for me, I got to go, again, it's a combination of need and best player available on the draft board. And it just all points to me, to Anthony Averett, the cornerback from Alabama. We saw Levi Wallace come off the board, but Averett's a guy who I thought had a pretty strong 2016 season. You know, he's not a super well-rounded cornerback, but he can really play press man pretty well. And, you know, he didn't have a ton of experience at Alabama, really only started much these last 2 years, didn't play much in the first two seasons, but he can get up, he can be physical, he can make it difficult for wide receivers to separate. And he's not a guy that's as much of a playmaker on the ball, and he's not as physical right at the catch point as you'd like, but you kind of see those baseline instincts that he needs to be able to play that position like that. And I think when he's in space, he needs to get a little bit more comfortable at times, but there's a lot to like there from Anthony Averett. I think, you know, this round isn't, he might go a little bit earlier than this, but this isn't too unrealistic of a drop for him. There's some real question marks about his game, but he does know how to stay with receivers. And, you know, he's, I think, 6 foot, 180-something pounds. You know, not little, but not huge either. And I think there is some room for him in this Bears secondary. He can come and compete. You can work him in the slot if you need to. Or maybe you work out something where Kyle Fuller comes into the slot and he comes in on the outside. You know, you find ways to get your best players on the field. If Averett proves to be better than Bryce Callahan, you find a way to get him on the field. At the very least, you add him to the rotation, and you let him work on special teams, and maybe there's room for him down the line. But it's got to be, for me, Anthony Averett here, 115th overall. Our simulation moves along to round 5 here, and we're going to go a little bit quicker because, if we're being totally honest, I don't know the bottom 3 rounds worth of NFL draft prospects. I don't get that deep into the draft class every year. The guests that I usually have on Mock Draft Monday do, and we're going to get to some sleepers as we get closer to the draft here on the podcast. But when we're sitting here with the 145th overall pick, some notable guys on the board: linebacker Fred Warner from BYU, wide receiver Jaleel Scott from New Mexico State, running back Akram Wadley from Iowa, tight end Troy Fumagalli from Wisconsin, wide receiver Alan Lazard from Iowa State, center Bradley Bozeman from Alabama. That wouldn't be a bad pick if we hadn't already taken Will Hernandez at guard, but don't know if there's room to add another young center here. Even running back Bo Scarborough from Alabama. You like that potential, and it's intriguing to you. Quarterback Luke Falk from Washington State. I feel like he's a guy that Matt Nagy is really going to like, but this might be a little bit rich for me, for him, and the Chicago Bears. But we're sitting here 8 picks into round 5. You know, wide receiver DJ Chark just went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He would have been on the board. I would have taken him in a heartbeat. I really think he's got a nice high ceiling. And I'm not in love with any of these prospects, and it's the 5th round, so what can you expect? You know, I think if Trey Burton weren't in Chicago, I would lean Troy Fumagalli just because he's a solid number 2, number 3 type tight end that's never going to be an elite athlete, but just gets the job done and catches the ball well. But the Bears have enough to go around at tight end as is, so I'm struggling a little bit here. I got to be honest. These picks, they're not really grabbing me, and I don't know every single name on this list as we get to the 160th, 170th best prospects in this draft. So as I look at this group, the guy I think I got to take is edge rusher Trayvon Young from Louisville. He's a guy with a difficult injury history. You know, in 2015 in his bowl game, he dislocated and fractured his hip, and it caused him to miss all of 2016. Came back for 2017, had some tackles for a loss and a few sacks and some pass breakups, but back in 2015, he was an 8.5 sack guy with 10 tackles for loss, and he's had some production as a pass rusher. Seems like a guy that, you know, as he gets back into the things and as the year got on, got a little bit better. He's got some long limbs. He moves pretty well. 6'4", 258, can kind of set the edge from the outside there. Never going to be the strongest guy, and certainly never going to be the fastest guy, especially after this major hip injury, but ran a nice 3-cone at the combine, 6.99 seconds. That's a big one that you translate to a lot of agility, and it's big for edge rushers. Being able to be bendy and being able to bend that edge and be that much more difficult to block when they're coming around the corner. You know, you're taking a chance here in the 5th round on a guy who showed a lot of potential at the end of this past year as he's getting back into his old form, and I think you put him into this Bears outside linebacker rotation. There's not a lot of pressure to produce, but he can step in, be an edge rusher, learn from Leonard Floyd, get after the quarterback a little bit, and potentially give you something that can be more as he develops in his career. We're here in the 6th round now. For all you diehard draft fans that are still listening in the 6th round, hope I haven't lost any of you so far, because we're building the Chicago Bears right now. The 6th round is where we find our sleepers, our steals, the guys that can really come in and make a big difference on this football team. And as I look at the draft board, there's clearly a guy that stands out for me, but I'll read you some of the top names still available just real quick here. Shaquem Griffin from Central Florida, the man with one hand that had a huge combine, he's there. We've got Godwin Igwebuike from Northwestern, whose name I'm sure I'm just butchered, and everyone on this podcast that went to Northwestern already knows how to pronounce his name. I do not. There's also linebacker Jack Sitchy from Wisconsin, quarterback Kurt Benkert from Virginia. We've got linebacker Jason Kabinda from Penn State, cornerback Saran Neal from Jacksonville State. He was at the Senior Bowl this year. But the guy I got to take with this pick, no doubt in my mind, is wide receiver Equanimeous St. Brown from Notre Dame. Another name I am sure I butchered. But man, when you can get a wide receiver like that with this kind of potential here in the 6th round, it's something that I got to pull the trigger on. This guy is 6'5", 214 pounds, ran a 4.48 40. Didn't perform all of the combine drills, but he is just a big target. that moves really well. He's got good footwork. He can get around sort of that traffic in the middle of the field and can use his length down the sideline and can separate a little bit, make those plays at the catch point, and even kind of has that subtle speed to really pull away, even at his 6'5" frame. Like Deshaun Hand in this Bears mock draft here, there's some effort and motor questions with him. Sometimes if cornerbacks kind of get at him and get him out of his head a little bit, maybe he doesn't have the games that you'd like him to have. Sometimes his hands aren't as 100% solid as you'd like. You want him to be stronger. You don't want him to body catch as much. And sometimes he can do a better job of getting his body in the proper position to make the catch away from defenders. But he's a guy that some people have as a day two talent. In this simulation, he's here in the 6th round. Cannot pass that up. Can't pass up adding a big-bodied wide receiver to an already improved Bears wide receiver core. It would look great to have that kind of size with Allen Robinson, with Cameron Meredith, with Taylor Gabriel, maybe with Kevin White. And he just kind of rounds out a nice receiving core. It's a steal here in the 6th round. I will absolutely take it. We wrap up here in the 7th round. And for the two people still listening that stuck it out for all 7 rounds of our FanSpeak mock draft simulator here, we're sitting here at the 224th overall pick. Still some decent names on the board, but when we're sitting here in the 7th round, you're really kind of taking a lottery ticket chance here. You're trying to find a guy that might not even stick on your roster, but you want to find the guy that can be so much more, that everyone is overlooking and that just seems to be the right fit to plug into your team. You know, we got some intriguing names for all you Northwestern fans out there. Running back Justin Jackson, he's on the board. Quarterback Riley Ferguson from Memphis could be a nice late-round developmental guy. Got offensive tackle Zachary Crabtree from Oklahoma State. Defensive lineman Mike Ramsey from Duke. A few different guys on the board here, but the guy I'm going to go with for the pick here is running back Ito Smith. It might be Ito, it's I-T-O, Ito Smith. We're having trouble with names as it is, so we got to take the running back. Ito Smith from Southern Mississippi. There's a little bit of Tariq Cohen in his game. He's 5'9", 195 pounds, but he's got tremendous, tremendous ability. He can catch the ball really well out of the backfield. He's got vision with the ball in his hand. Great speed at his size, of course, and athleticism, all that good stuff. He's got a little bit of issue with ball security. Sometimes he holds it out away from his body a little bit wide and can be, you know, there's some danger there, especially if he's running between the trenches in the NFL. But for a little guy, he can block and he can just come into that running back rotation as running back number 3. And if there's any legs to the rumor that the Bears aren't as high on Jordan Howard as a system fit, something that I'm not particularly buying into, but we can go into that more on a future podcast, of course. Ito Smith can step in and be in that rotation and maybe sometime down the line make it easier if they want to somehow move on from Jordan Howard in the future. But that is going to be our mock draft here. Again, we came away with Tremaine Edmonds in the 1st round. We got guard Will Hernandez in the 2nd round. We got a new starter here at the linebacker position. You can move around. A new starting left guard as well. Of course, the Bears don't have a 3rd round pick, but we jumped ahead to the 4th round and still got a guy some people consider a 1st round talent in Deshaun Hand, the defensive lineman from Alabama. That's a nice addition to the front 7. Then we jumped back to the secondary and we got another Alabama defender, Anthony Averett, the cornerback. Two guys, Eddie Jackson, he's going to know a heck of a lot about to give the Bears a nice little edge in information. The 5th round, we got edge rusher Trayvon Young from Louisville. In the 6th round, we somehow snagged Equanimeous St. Brown, the wide receiver from Notre Dame. And then we wrapped up in the 7th with running back Ito Smith from Southern Mississippi. Not a bad mock draft. Addressed a lot of needs. Got some nice best player available type moves on day 3 of the draft. Still got some impact playmakers on both sides of the ball. It sets this Bears roster up for a nice future here. Jump into training camp, get some immediate contributions from potentially I mean, all seven of your picks there, but especially your first five there can all jump in and be a part of the rotation right away. And that's the scenario we got here with Fanspeak. Again, it's not going to be necessarily a realistic thing that's going to play out, but it's a fun exercise, and it helps us see some of the possibilities here with how the draft might play out. If you liked the mock that we did there, let us know on Twitter at Locked On Bears, on our Facebook page, Locked On Bears. If you want to do one of your own, you can share it with us on there too. You can compare them side by side and see who did a better job, me on Locked On Bears or you on your own Fanspeak simulation. We did something different today for Mock Draft Monday. If you enjoyed it, please, please do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast. But if you didn't enjoy that exercise, don't worry about it. You should still hit that subscribe button because this was a one-time thing. We tried it out. We might do it again someday, but for now, we're just trying it out. We'll be back next Mock Draft Monday with another draft analyst to go more in-depth on some specific players and positions. So we'll come back. This was just one try at the Fanspeak simulation. Hit that subscribe button either way. Leave us a nice review. Keep supporting the podcast. Tell your friends, tell your fellow Bears fans about Locked On Bears. Really appreciate all the growth we've had this offseason. And it really is just a lot of fun talking Bears with you guys. And this offseason really is just a great time to bear down.